All right, tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, Parshas Vayera, and the title of the shiur is Don't Look Back. We're going to discuss the idea of Lot's wife looking back and turning into a pillar of salt. That's the general or the main theme of the shiur. I'm going to start with the psukim as usual, and we're going to learn a little bit about what the isser was to look back, why it was a problem to look back at Sodom and Amorah as they were being destroyed, and what the idea of Lot's wife turning into salt, why salt, what's the significance of that, and the deeper idea. Okay? So I'm going to start with source number one. The psukim are is Parak Yotes, Pasuk Tes Vav. Uchmo ha-shachar Allah, v'yitzu ha-malachim b'lut le'mor, kum kaches ishtecha v'eshtev nosecha nimtaos, pen tisafe b'avona ir. So as the morning was coming, the malachim, they basically pushed Lot, and they said, take your wife, take your children, and get out, because you're going to end up getting destroyed with the Avona ear. Vayisma ma, but he ended up waiting too much. He was procrastinating. Vayachaziku anashim v'yado v'yad ishto v'yad shtev nosav v'chemos Hashem alav v'yotzi'u v'yanichu mechutz la'er. They had to grab him. The malachim grabbed Lot and his wife and his children out of the kindness of Hashem, and they took him out of the ear. Vayhi chotziyam osam achutza, as they took him out of the ear, vayomer himaleit al nafshecha, they said, go, escape with your life, al tabit acharecha, v'al tamod b'chol kikar, don't look behind you, and don't stand and watch the whole valley, hahara himaleit pentisafeh, go run away to the heart, to the mountain, lest you become consumed and destroyed. Okay, so those are the three psukim. I think the main idea that we're going to focus on is the question of why couldn't they look behind them? What was the problem with looking back as Lot was escaping from Sodom and Amorah? Okay? So what's the first, I think the first approach is a pshat approach. Does anybody have any possibilities? Why, from a pshat standpoint, why would it be that they couldn't look back? What's the idea? What would be the problem with looking back? And he should just say, the malachim should just say, just get out of there, and leave. Why does it say, himaleit al nashecha al tabir acharecha v'al tamod b'chol kikar? Yeah.
Because when you look back, it implies that you regret leaving or that you miss it.
Okay, that's okay. That's one possibility. That's good. Who just said that?
Me.
Oh, okay. Tamara, good. That's a good possibility. I think the pshat though is like the radak. There's a radak on this, and let me get the radak out. I didn't put the radak in, but I'm gonna read him inside. It says, hold on one second. Okay, it says, Himaleit al nafshecha al tabit acharecha v'al tamod b'chol kikar. The Radak says, al tabit acharecha amru lo zeh kidei shelo yis'akev b'habito acharov. So why do they say this? So that they wouldn't get held up by looking behind them. V'shema haya mabit acharov liros in nefcha here. So they might look back because they might want to see if the ear was turned over or destroyed. So the malachim are saying, "Don't look back." Why? Because apparently looking back would take time, and it would be procrastinate. They would procrastinate in looking back, and then they would get destroyed with the rest of the ear. So the pshat is that when you're trying to escape something and you're running away, you don't just stop there and you look back and you just that's just a pshat. So the malachim are saying, "You gotta get out of here." Himaleit al nafshecha al tabir acharecha. Don't stall at all. So that's the nature of the Isser on a pshat standpoint. And I think the Radak's very nice. But then there's a nice drasha brought down, a medrash brought down by Rashi. And it's a famous medrash. If you look at number two, it says, Al tabir acharecha, don't look behind you. Ata hirshata imahem. So you, meaning Lot, were a rasha with them. You did evil with them. Uvischus Avraham ata nitzel. You're only saved because of Avraham. Eincha kedai liros bepuranusam ve'ata nitzol. You're not privy to looking and watching their downfall and their bad things happening to them while you're being saved. Okay, so Rashi is introducing a new idea. He's saying that the idea, the isser, to look back is not simply an idea installing, but it's an idea that that Lot wasn't saved on his own accord. He was only saved for Avram, and therefore he didn't have a right to look back and take pleasure out of their pain, or at least watch their pain. Okay? So we're just gonna hold off on this idea. It's a strange idea. What does it mean that he was only saved for Avram? You know, what does that mean? That we're gonna hold off for a second because there's a stira in Rashi. This Rashi to another Rashi. And what is it? So we say that Ata Hirshata Imam, that Lot was a Rasha with them. In what sense was Lot a Rasha with them? Does anybody know? Why do we say that Lot was a Rasha with them? So if you look at number three, it says, Vayavo Shnei Amalachim, and I'm just setting up the facts here. We're going to get to the idea. Vayavo Shnei Amalachim Sedoma Ba'erev, Velot Yoshev Bishar Sedom, Vayar Lot Vayakom Likrosam Vayishtachel Apayim Arza. Okay, so the Malachim came to Sodom at night in the evening, and Lot was sitting Bishar Sodom, and Lot saw Vayakom Likrosam, he gets up and he bows down. So if we look at Rashi, Rashi explains Velot Yoshev Bishar Sodom, Yoshev Ksiv Oso Ayom Minuhu Shofet Aleihem. So on that day, he was appointed to judge over them. Okay, so what do we see about Lot? That Lot really was, he was involved with them. He wasn't just he didn't just live there, but he was the Shofet Aleihem. He was their judge. And what's the significance of the idea of a Shofet? What is a Shofet responsible for? He's responsible for maintaining order, for basically he's in charge of morality, of maintaining morality in the place. But apparently Lot, he wasn't just a bystander. He didn't just live in Sodom, but he was involved with them in terms of being a leader. He was a leader in the community. He was a Shofet Aleihem. And they appointed him on that day. Okay? Fine. So that's one shot. That's Rashi. So Rashi's saying the reason why Lot was saved was not for his own accord. In fact, he was a Rasha, and he was involved with them, and he really only was saved because of Avram Avinu. Right? Does anybody have any questions, or everything clear? You following? All right. But you have another Rashi that's a contradiction to this Rashi. So if you look at number five, and the Sifsei Chachamim brings this down. I like the Sifsei Chachamim because he brings down a lot of interesting questions on Rashi. If you look at the pasuk in number five, it says, "Vayihi b'shaches Elokim es arei hakikar, vayiskor Elokim es Avraham, vayishlachet Lot es Lot mitocha afecha, b'hafoch es harim asher yashav b'hein Lot." So when Hashem destroyed the arei hakikar, he remembered Avram. It says, "Vayiskor Elokim es Avram," and he took Lot out from the hafecha. So this is where the contradiction emerges. If you look at this Rashi, number six, it says, Vayiskor Elokim es Avraham, that Hashem remembered Avraham, Mahuz chiraso shel Avraham al Lot. So what exactly was the remembrance of, with regard to Avraham, in reference to Lot? Nizkar shehaya Lot yodea shesara ishto shel Avraham. So Lot knew that Sarah was the wife of Avraham, Vishama she'amar Avram b'Mitzrayim al Sarah achosihi. He heard that Avram said in Mitzrayim that Sarah was his wife. V'lo gila hadavar, and he didn't reveal it. Shehaya chasalav. He had mercy on him. Leficha chasa kadosh baruch hu alav. Therefore, Hashem was chas on Lot. Okay. So what is the question here? So we have two Rashi's. One Rashi saying that really Lot didn't deserve to be saved. He was only saved on account of Avram. But this Rashi, it says that Lot really had a perfection. Apparently, he deserved to be taken out. Why? Because he was able to conceal the fact that Sarah was really Avram's wife and not his sister. So you have a contradiction here. So which one is it? Is it that Lot was saved because of Avram? Or is it that Lot was saved on his own accord? Right? So furthermore, I think the question is, what is the big deal about not... What was the big deal that about Lot not revealing about Sarah, that Sarah was Avraham's wife? It doesn't seem like such a big perfection. So why is Lot granted this great hashgacha that he saved from a destroyed city of Sodom and Amorah in order to because of this? You know, why is it such a great feat that and a great perfection of Lot that he was able to conceal this knowledge? So anybody have any thoughts on that? I think that's the beginning of trying to explain this area, but why would Lot, what was this perfection that Lot had? So what? You know, so he was with Avram, and he knew that Avram was lying, but whatever, so he kept it to himself, big deal, you know? Why is that such a big schus, big merit, that he should be saved? Anybody want to try, attempt an answer? Tamar, you've been active on the phone line.
Something.
Okay, good. There we go.
Okay.
Finally, I've been waiting for this since I started giving this share.
I think that if he would have said that it's his wife, wouldn't have they killed her?
Yeah, but so what that he why? I know, I agree with you. It definitely would have been bad had he revealed it. But the question is, right, not revealing it, why is that such a big deal? In other words, it doesn't take a lot to shut your mouth. Would you say that that's a great person? A person who just shuts their mouth and doesn't say anything? Why, you know, why is it such a great perfection on the part of Lot that he was granted this great hashgacha, this great intervention, that he was saved from the city? What was so great about his ability to close his mouth?
If he
had opened his mouth, bad things would have happened. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, it's hard to say. Could be
the bad things that have happened. So the fact that Chloe didn't say anything.
Okay.
Is that something that he gets credit for?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like there's more. I mean, why did he get such big credit for that? I mean, I just don't think it's such a big deal. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm missing something. I get what you're saying. You're saying if he had said something, it would have been really bad. And I agree with that. But the question is, fine, so he didn't say something. So, fine, he's okay. He's an okay guy. He didn't reveal it, but it sounds like he's getting this great reward for doing so, for not saying anything. So, I think
sometimes it's easier to say something than to not say something.
It's easier to say something than to not say something. Well, why would it be hard to not say something? Why would it be hard to not say something? Why would he want...
People like to... like show that they have information, or
let's say you love somebody, right? So wouldn't it be natural to not, you know, to want to protect that person? In other words, by Lot and Avram, if he really loved Avram, then it's natural to not, you know, to not say anything. Like you with your parents, for example, or with your sisters, you know, if you knew that they were telling a lie, but you knew that they were telling it for a certain reason, and you love them. So it's natural to keep your mouth shut. Do you deserve a reward for that? I mean, I don't know. It's not such a big deal. I don't think it's such a big deal.
Maybe you love him like I love my parents.
Okay. All right. So I like that. So maybe what Tamar's saying.
I think he was jealous.
Okay. So what Tamar's saying is that, see, you only get rewarded for keeping your mouth shut if there's a desire to say something, right? If you want to reveal the truth. So it's only a perfection if somehow there's a desire there and you're able to overcome it. And you're able to, you know, shut your mouth. So I think what this Rashi is saying, which is what I think Tamar was hinting at, is that there is a certain tension between Avram and Lot. It wasn't so simple that Avram and Lot were just, you know, they loved each other and they were best buddies. But there was a tension there. And apparently it was hard for Lot to just hold back. But he was able to overcome a drive, a desire, a taiva, to reveal the truth in order to damage Avraham. So on the one hand, we see that that Lot had a certain tension with Avraham, but on the other hand, he was able to overcome the tension in that situation, and that's why he deserved this great hashgacha. Where do we see from before, in the psukim before, where do we see that, or why do we see that this tension would emerge? There's a couple ideas from the psukim and from Rashi's. The first idea is in number 4. We read it before. You see that Lot, he was appointed as judge over Sodom and Amorah. So a judge is a person who is a leader. It's not like not a person who blends into the background. But typically, a dayan or a judge is a stalwart of the community, a person who is looked up to. So we see that Lot, it wasn't easy for him to be subordinate to Avram, but he seeked out a position of leadership, especially in the area of morality, because a true shofet is involved in morality and justice. So Lot, he wasn't satisfied. It sounds like he wasn't satisfied being subordinate to Avraham. Apparently, it was a big perfection that he was able to hold back because of that. But you see from his personality that he seeked out leadership, moral leadership on his own, outside of Avraham. Okay? But I have a couple other proofs for this idea. Are a couple other ideas that I think are evidence, good evidence. If you look at number 7, it says, Vayomer Avram el Lot. This is before they split up. So Avram and Lot were together, and then they split up. And the famous Medrash says that the reason why they split up was because there was tension between the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot. And the pasuk says, "Vayomer Avram el Lot, al not sihi meriva beini uveinecha. There shouldn't be a fight between me and you, uvein ro'ai uvein ro'echa, between my shepherds, between your shepherds, ki anashim achim anachnu, because we're brothers." So what does it mean that they're brothers? They weren't really brothers. In fact, Lot was Avram's nephew. So what does it mean that they're brothers? So of course you could say, you know, it just means in a figurative way. But Rashi has an interesting idea. If you look at number 8 in Rashi, on that pasuk, it's Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches, it says, Anashim Achim, Krovim, we're relatives. Fine, that's the simple pshat. Umidrash Agada, Domin Beklester Panim. The Medrash says that they had similar features, facial features. Okay? So why is that significant? And how does it fit into the pasuk? I think it's significant because it reflects on the idea we just said in number 6, which is that when you look like somebody, it tends to elicit more of attention with the other person. And like you have twins, with identical twins. So typically with identical twins, each twin wants to establish their own identity. They don't want to simply be the other person's, double. But they want to have their own identity, their own idea. So too we see by Lot and Avram that there seemed to be an idea here, a part of the tension, that there was a tension there, and almost like a competitiveness between Avram and Lot, and part of that is that they looked alike, and you see from before that Lot seeked out to be a moral leader, a shofet. So and you see from the fact that he's rewarded for holding it in, that there was a strong drive of Lot to expose Avram and to destroy Avram, but so apparently there's this tension here. On the one hand, you know, Lot is able to gain certain ideas from Avram and subordinate himself, and that's one of his perfections. But on the other hand, you know, there's a certain tension there between Avram and Lot. And that's an imperfection that he has. And in fact, when he leaves Avram and he's not subordinate to Avram, he seeks out leadership, which demonstrates the underlying reason for the tension. Okay? Good? Are we good? Questions? Anybody?
I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just curious why we go to such lengths to find some reason why they have to save Lot when it seems from the pasuk that there's an immediate.
Because what? Say it again.
It seems from the pasuk that there's that he's being saved because of standing up for the malachim.
Because of the what? The malachim?
Because he was standing up for his guest.
Oh. Because the psukim say weird things. Like the psukim say, Vayiskor Elokim es Avram, Vayishlach es Lot mitoch afecha. So it sounds like it was somehow related to Avram. It's not so clear as to why he was saved. So I think that pasuk's a problem because it says, Vayiskor Elokim es Avram, Vayishlach es Lot mitoch afecha, which is mashma that it was somehow related to Avram. And also because. And also, you see that Lot was involved with Sodom and Amorah, so why wasn't he killed? I mean, he was their shofet. He did act as almost like their moral leader, and he was allowing rishas to occur. So he really should deserve death. So the question is, why was he saved? All right? I mean, I think that's... Yeah. So I just have one more proof for this tension, this idea of tension. It's a famous Rashi. It's number 9. It's... On Parak Yutas Pasuk Yutas, it says Pented Bakani Hara'ah Vamati. So Lot, if we all remember, Lot he asked not to go to the har, but he asked to go to a city instead when he's escaping Sodom and Amorah. And the question is why? So it's a famous Rashi. If you look at number 9, it says Kishayisi Eitzel Anshe Sodom Haya Kadosh Baruch Hu Roe Maasai Umase Bnei Ha'ir. So when I was by Sodom, I was being compared to the people of Sodom. Vayisi nira tzaddik, ukedai lehi notzel. And I was really a tzaddik, and it was appropriate for me to be saved. Uksha'avo etzel tzaddik ani karasha. But when I go next to a tzaddik, like Avraham, I'm a rasha. V'chein amra tzarfes aliyahu kivas elai lahatzker savoni achlo bas etzli hayakadosh baruch hu roe masai umase ami v'ani tzidkas b'nehem u'mishibasa etzli l'fi masecha ani rasha. Okay, it's the same thing by Eliyahu, the same idea is expressed there. What's the idea? The idea is that Lot's saying, if I'm next to Avraham, I'm not such a tzaddik. But when I'm next to the people of Sodom and Amorah, I am a tzaddik. What do you see here? You see that there's a you see two things. One thing is that Rashi seems to be saying that Lot had a certain perfection, because he says, "Ani tzaddik," and that's why I was saved, which is another problem with the Rashi before. But also you see that he didn't want to be next to Avram. Why? Because there's a certain tension there, and he compared himself to Avram, and he's comparing his tzidkus to the people around him, and he's saying, if I'm compared to Avram, I'm not such a tzaddik. So all I'm bringing this in to prove is that there's a certain tension, a tension between Lot and Avram, and on the one hand, the perfection of Lot, which was that he was able to subordinate himself to Avram in certain situations, was a particularly good midah that he had. But on the other hand, he seeked out leadership, and there was a tension. He was seeking out to break off from Avram because there was a tension there. And you have all these proofs from the Psukim. You have the fact, like I said before, you have the fact that he was a shofate, which shows you that he wanted more leadership. You have the fact that, you know, he's rewarded for holding it in, which shows you that he really wanted to say something. And to hold it in must have been hard for him. But why did he want to say something? It must be that he felt a certain competition, a certain tension. And then you also have this idea that they had similar facial features, which we know by identical twins, for example. There's usually greater competitiveness with somebody who's more like you, somebody who you compare yourself to. And then you see over here at the end, this Rashi, where it says that he doesn't want to escape to where Avram is, because he doesn't want to be compared to Avram in terms of his tzidkus, but he would rather be apart from Avram. So I'm showing you that there's that Lot is a deep person. He's not simply a Rasha, and he's not simply a tzaddik. On the one hand, he wasn't intrinsically attached to the rishus of Sodom and Amora, but he really was their shofate. But on the other hand, he was able, there are certain perfections that he had, and the perfections emerged when he was able to subordinate himself to Avraham Avinu. Okay? So maybe we can answer the main question here, which is that Rashi, the first Rashi says that he was saved because of Avraham, and then you have all these other Rashis which seem to indicate that he wasn't saved because of Avraham, that he had a perfection, right? So I think the idea is... You want to try? Okay. Anybody want to try and answer? Or a possibility? So I think the idea is that... see, let's say he was a real Rasha. Let's say he was really attached to Rishos, right? So it wouldn't make sense that... I don't think the Hashgacha for Avram could save Lot if he was a real Rasha. So I think that... That the idea that he was Minuhu Shofate is showing you that he really wasn't intrinsically attached to Sodom and Amora. He wanted to be a moral leader, but he wasn't really doing the rishus of Sodom and Amora. He wasn't a Rasha Gomor. So I think the idea is that, see, he was saved because of the perfection that he had, but see, he was attached in a certain sense to Sodom and Amora, because he did go there. He did allow himself to become the shofate and become the moral leader of a corrupt society. So on the one hand, he was attached, and he really didn't deserve a special hashgacha because of his attachment to Sodom and Amora. But on the other hand, because of the fact that his attachment wasn't intrinsic, and he was able, in certain situations, in certain moral phenomenon, he was able to subordinate himself to Avram, that's why he was saved. So on the one hand, I would say the idea of Schus Avraham is that he was on the one hand attached to Sodom and Amora. It's like a complex idea. He was attached to Sodom and Amora, but he wasn't attached intrinsically. And without a special hashgacha, he would have just been left like everybody else to die. He would have been included in Sodom and Amora because he was part of their society. But it's only because of Schus Avraham, and I think the idea of Schus Avraham is also Lot's ability to subordinate himself to the philosophy of Avram, it's only because of that he was saved, right? So I think that there's a duality there. But I think Rashi's pointing out that had Lot been a Rasha Gomor, he wouldn't have been saved. So Rashi's trying to show you that on the one hand, he wouldn't have warranted Hashgacha on his own. If he wasn't attached to Avram, he would have been included in the destruction of the society of Sodom and Amorah, you know, because he was a Benoni. He was partially good, partially, but he was attached to them. But on the other hand, there was a Hashgacha there to save him because of Avram. But the idea of the Hashgacha to save him to Avram is also the fact that he's able to subordinate himself to Avram. Because if he wasn't attached to Avram at all, and he was a complete Rasha Gomer, then he would not have been saved. Even for Avram, and even though Avram was a great person, he wouldn't have been saved. So there has to be some perfection there of Lot in order to allow him to be saved. But really, without the Hashgacha related to Avram, he wouldn't have been saved. He would have been left to nature. And the natural course would have been that he would have been destroyed. All right? Is that clear, or does that make sense? Is that good? Yeah? All right. Anybody have any questions? All right. So I think that's the summary of that idea. That explains that idea. So on the one hand, let me just explain it again, because I just want to make sure it's clear. So on the one hand, Lot was attached to Sodom and Amorah, and he should have been killed by virtue of the fact that he was attached to them. But on the other hand, he wasn't attached to them intrinsically. And he did have a perfection in his ability to subordinate himself to Avram and Avram's philosophy. And because there's a hashgacha to Avram, related to Avram, he was saved. So he wasn't, but Rashi's pointing out that had he been a Rasha Gomor, had he intrinsically attached himself to Sodom and Amorah, Avram's hashgacha, or any idea related to Avram, wouldn't have saved him, because then he would have warranted destruction. He didn't warrant it intrinsically. He warranted it by being attached to them, by being associated with them. But now, once he's subordinate to Avram, and there's a hashgacha to Avram, that's what saves him. But I showed you also that there was a tension there in Lot. That Lot wasn't... That's the idea, that Lot wasn't Rasha Gomer. He was only attached to Sodom and Amorah because he wanted to be a moral leader, but not because he really was attached intrinsically to Rishos. Okay? So, now we get to the point, the idea of what the problem with looking back is, and why did Lot's wife turn into Melech, which we're going to get to. So one of the areas in which Lot was particularly affected by Avraham was the area of Hachnasas Orchim. If you look at number 10, it says, "Vayavo shnei molachim Sodoma ba'erev, v'lot yoshev b'shar Sodom, vayar Lot vayakom likrasom v'yishtach l'apayim arza." So when Lot saw the molachim come, he immediately got up and he invited them to his house. And if you look at Rashi, it says, "Vayar Lot mibeis Avraham lamad lachzor al ha'orchim." So one of the things that Lot was able to glean from Avram, one of the perfections, was the idea of Hachnasas Orchim, but not just Hachnasas Orchim, but he seeked out guests in order to accomplish Hachnasas Orchim. So that was one of the ideas that was key to attaching Lot to Avram and Lot's perfection that he had gained from Avram. Okay? So I'm just starting with that premise, and it's kind of like a setup here. If we get to, now we get to his wife, to Lot's wife. So I'm going to skip ahead in the Psukim. And it says, "Vatabet ishto me'acharav, vatihi netzev melech." So his wife, she looked behind him when they were leaving Sodom, and she became a pillar of salt. Right? It's not so, the Pashup shot actually, there's an interesting, I think it's the Ibn Ezra. He says, what does it mean, vatihi netzev melech? It's not that she turned into salt, but she looked behind her and she saw that Sodom and Amorah had turned into salt. That's actually a pshat given by the Ibn Ezra, because it doesn't say openly that she turned into salt. It says, Vatihin etzev melech. So the pshat that the Ibn Ezra says is that she looked behind her and she saw Vatihin etzev melech. She saw that Sodom and Amorah had become destroyed in a complete pillar of salt. But the other ways of learning it is that she actually herself turned into a pillar of salt. So the question is, why did she turn into a pillar of salt? And this is a famous Rashi, number 13. Vatabet ishto me'acharav shalot. She looked behind her, me'acharav shalot, looked behind Lot. Vatihin etzev melech. Why did she turn into a pillar of salt? B'melech chata'o v'melech laksa. So she was a sinner with salt, and she was punished through salt. Amar la, so there's a medrash quote. Amar la tzni me'at melech le'orchem halalu. So Lot said to his wife, please give the malachim a little bit of salt. Amr lo, af hamina garah zeh ata ba lahanik b'makom hazeh. She said to him, this evil custom, you're going to bring into this makom, you're going to start practicing this in this makom. Okay, so what do we see about Lot's wife? Apparently, Lot's wife was unable to embrace the same level of Hachnasas Orchim that Lot was able to embrace. In other words, Lot went out of his way. It's Duach Nafshas Orchim. It says Vayar Lot, that he seeked out guests. And also, even in tending to the guests, the idea of melach is that it's to make something more flavorful. So it wasn't just about treating the oreach in an adequate fashion, but it was actually Lot was trying to satisfy any desire the oreach had. And you see that Lot's wife was unable to, she was unable to embrace this philosophy of Avram, this idea of Hachnasas Orchim. Okay, so one idea, just a simple idea or explanation analysis of this Rashi, is that Lot had this perfection of Avram that he gained from Avram, like Rashi says before, which is that Lot had gained perfection from Avram of Hachnasas Orchem, and you see that from the fact that he offered salt to the guests, and he also sought them out. Amar lo afa minagaraza, but apparently his wife did not have the same perfection, right? And she was attached. It seems to me from this Rashi that she was not attached to Avram's philosophy, but rather she was really attached to the philosophy of Sodom and Amorah, more so than Lot was. Lot at least had, you know, one element which he could say was unique and was tied to Avram, but his wife did not embrace that. Okay, so what is the idea of her turning into Melech now, and why did she turn back according to this Medrash, and why did she turn into, that's the question, why did she turn into salt, the main question, right? How does it make sense? So I want to go back to what Tamar said. She actually hit the nail on the head with her approach. She said that the idea of looking back is an inability to give up on what was happening. Okay, so how does that apply over here? See, the idea that Lot's wife looked back meant that she was unable to leave behind Sodom and Amorah completely. And she was still attached to Sodom and Amorah, and the Malachim are really saying, if you want to escape with your life, you need to be able to break your attachment to their rishos. But we see from the Medrash that brings us back to the Malachim that she really was attached to their rishos, and she wasn't able to embrace Avraham's philosophy. So it would make sense why she turned back. The idea of turning back was she wasn't ready to give up on Sodom and Amorah, the rishos of Sodom and Amorah. She had an attachment to the rishos of Sodom and Amorah. And there's an interesting chizkuni, actually. And also, again, I'm sorry I didn't put it in the sheets, but I'm going to read it inside. He gives an explanation of the idea of salt. It says, Vatihin etziv melach. He quotes Rashi, V'melach ata kemoshe perish Rashi, l'fichach kisha avra tzivoy ha-melachim laksa b'lakoy sedom. Okay? So she didn't follow the commandment of the Malachim, and therefore she was punished with the same punishment that occurred to Sodom. Okay? So the idea seems to be that she still partook of the imperfection of Sodom. Just like Sodom was destroyed and it became salt, she too also partook of the imperfection of Sodom. And the idea of her turning into salt is that concept, that she was just like them. She was no different than them. At least Lot was able to escape and able to subordinate himself to Avram's philosophy and able to leave Sodom and Amorah behind. But she was not able to leave Sodom and Amorah behind, and that's the idea of looking back. And as soon as she demonstrated that she was unable to leave it behind, she became like them. Whatever happened to them became of her. So she turned into salt. Davar acher, vatabet ishto ma'acharav, vathi kol ha'aretz nitziv melach, shekein gafres ha'melach shreifal kol ha'aretz. That's the other pshat. So I said that before. But the main idea of the Medrash is that concept, that she could not escape Sodom and Amorah, and she was intrinsically attached to the Rishos, as opposed to Lot, who wasn't intrinsically attached, and that's why she gets punished with salt. A, to reflect the fact that that's the reason, because she embraced their philosophy of life, and B, once she looked back, she was basically saying and demonstrating that she wasn't ready to, you know, to move forward and to leave it behind. So that's the idea of her turning into salt, of Lot's wife turning into salt. Apparently she didn't have the same attachment or commitment to Avram's philosophy And to the contrary, she was more committed to Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? Good? Questions? Points? All right. Okay, so that's one possibility for her turning into salt. And I just wanted to offer another interesting possibility as to why, you know, why Lot's wife turned into salt. Oh, before we do that, if you look at number 14, it says, Gafrisva melach strefa kol artza in Kisavo, I think. It says, Gafrisva melach strefa kol artza, lo sizara velo satzmiach, velo yale bach kol esev, kama pechas adon v'amrad mo'ot v'yem, asher afach Hashem be'apo v'chamaso. So in the Tochacha, when it's discussing the curses to Klal Yisrael, it compares the potential curse to Klal Yisrael to Sodom and Amorah, and it says, Gafrisva melach strefa kol artza. Because the question is, where do we see that they turned into salt? So this pasuk says that Gafrisva melach strefa kol artza was burned with brimstone and melach, with salt. And he says, lo sizara v'lo satzmiach. You can't plant in it, and nothing can grow in it. V'lo yaleh b'kol esev. No grass can grow in it. K'ma pechas adom v'amarad mo'ot v'yim, asher afach Hashem be'apo uv'chamaso. Just like Hashem had turned over Sodom and Amorah, that's what he's going to do to Klal Yisrael. So the idea of melach, really, is an idea of complete and utter destruction. It means that nothing can grow. Melech dries the land out, and it makes it such that nothing else can develop there. So the idea of Sodom and Amorah was a complete destruction to the point where nothing could ever exist there again. Nothing could grow on the land. It was a complete and utter upheaval. So I just wanted to point out the significance of the Melech. The idea of the Melech is the idea that it's a destruction in which nothing can ever grow from it. It dries out, just like melech absorbs blood, it dries things out. So too, the idea of Gafrisa Melech is an idea, a concept, that the land of Sodom and Amorah, it deserved to be destroyed to the point where nothing else could be rebuilt in it, and nothing could be to grow from the land. And that's what happened to the wife of Lot. She turned into that, just like the land. Okay? So the Ramban offers another possibility, which is the second possibility. He says in number 15, the Ramban on Perek Yutes, V'karov ani lomar ki b'hishchis Hashem es ha'arim ha'ele haya ha'malach ha'mashchis omid b'ena aretz u'vena shamayim nira b'lahav esh. K'inyan b'malach ha'mashchis asher ra'a David l'chach asar lehen ha'abata. So he offers a different possibility. Why was it asher to look behind them? Because what was going on behind them was that a malach of Hashem, which represented God's anger, was destroying the land, and it was usher for them to see that. It was usher. It's usher to see the messenger of God and to see Amidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu to that level, to that degree. And that's why it was usher. Apparently, they weren't on the level where they could appreciate, or they were given the ability to appreciate this Amidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this characteristic of God. And the Rashbam says the same idea. He says, "Gam shelo listaka b'malachim." He says the Isser was for them to look at the Malachim and the Maaseim Shelo Litzorach. Kedistiv Mos Namus Ki Hashem Ra'inu V'chein B'Yakov Ki Ra'isi Elokim Panim Al Panim Batinat Sel Nafshi. You can't look at God, you can't understand knowledge of God that's beyond you, and that's the Isser HaBata. That's the Isser to look. Apparently what was going on behind them was too abstract, and it wasn't they weren't ready to look at it. Okay, it seems like a simple idea, but I think there's a medrash that I was surprised that Rashi didn't quote. But there's a medrash that I think explains why Lot's wife in specific was turned around. You know what? How come Lot was able to avoid turning around, but Lot's wife wasn't? Okay, so we look at number 17, and this is I thought it was interesting that nobody really brought this down, but I think it explains a lot. It says Vatabed Ishto Me'acharav, so she looked behind her. Rav Yitzchak Amar Shechata B'Melach, so she was a chote B'Melach. But also Alayla Shebo HaMalachim Elot Mahi Osa, on the night that the Malachim came to Lot, what did she do? Holeches El Kol Shechinoseha VeOmeres Lahem Tnuli Melach Sheyesh Lanu Orchem. She said, "Oh, can you give me a little salt? Because I have guests." V'hi Mechavenes Sheyakiru Bahen Anshe Eir Al Kain VaTehinitzav Melach. She wanted them to recognize the guests, Al-Kain, and that's why she turned into Melech. So So what exactly was the flaw, according to this Medrash, what was the flaw of Lot's wife? It wasn't like before we said she didn't embrace Achnas's Orchim to the same level and the same degree as Lot had embraced it. But what is this flaw? What exactly is she doing here? How would you describe her flaw according to this Medrash? So what do you, anybody? Mom. Come on.
She went out of her way to, you know, stick it to these guys.
Right. She's like a Rochel, right? You know, Rechilas?
Right.
She's going to, you know, she's going to people's houses, and she's trying to set the situation up, right? So how would you describe Lot's wife? I would say she's a master manipulator, right? Master manipulator. She's going to people's houses. She knows what she's doing. She's saying, oh, I want some salt, but she doesn't really want the salt. Exactly. Wink, wink, wink. She doesn't really want the salt, but she wants to manipulate the situation and try to create a situation of destruction. Okay. So we see that that's one of the key elements of Lot's wife's personality. So I think this Medrash actually fits into the Pshat, or the, I shouldn't say the Pshat, but the idea of the Ramban and the Rashbam. See, why was Lot's wife compelled to look behind her? Because she was the one who set up the situation in the first place. She initiated the whole destruction. She manipulated the people in the first place to try to attack the house and try to destroy Lot. And she almost created the situation from behind the curtains. And the idea is that type of person... that type of person is a power seeker, a person who wants to feel all powerful, but they're doing it in a hidden way. So the idea is that there was a certain enjoyment that she felt in turning around and seeing the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, almost as if she was a part of that destruction. She almost actually manipulated it and created the situation of destruction. So why was she destroyed in such a harsh way, and she became Melech? See, the idea is that that she was trying to attach the power of God to her own power. In other words, she created the situation, she manipulated the situation, and why is she looking back? Because there's a part of her that believes that she created this destruction, this level of destruction. Now, that is a punishable offense by death, to assume or to relate your own power and your own power to God's power is deserving of death. So I think the Medrash actually gives us a little insight as to why she turned around. See, she turned around because she wanted to feel a certain level of responsibility and power for creating this destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And her turning around was a demonstration of the fact that she was trying to attach or associate her own power with this destruction, this level of destruction, when in fact the destruction was all caused by God. It had nothing to do with her. And she wasn't responsible for it in the least bit. So when a person compares themselves and their own abilities to the abilities of God, you know, that's punishable by death. And that's the idea of Melech in the Medrash. The idea of Melech is that's why, it's trying to demonstrate why she was killed. She was killed because of the fact that, not only because of the fact that she looked behind her, because it never says in the Pesukim before that you'll die if you look behind her. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it'll be punished by death. But if you don't, but if you look behind you and you have this emotion, which is expressed in the story of the Melech, you have the emotion that you're the master manipulator and you're the one who creates the situation, then it's automatic that you're going to die. So the idea of her turning into Melech is to express that what her emotions were and what motivated her, and it also contributed to her death in looking behind her. Because she wasn't just looking behind her to gain knowledge of God. That's one thing. That's one low level if you're not ready for it. But she was looking behind her because she wanted to associate the power of God to her own power as the master manipulator. So that's the pshata of the Ramban as to why she turned into a pillar of salt. Okay? So we really have two distinct approaches to why Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. One approach is that she wasn't ready to let go, and it demonstrated that she was attached to Rishus on an intrinsic level, as opposed to Lot, who was attached to Rishus not in an intrinsic level, but merely as seeking out to be a moral leader and for leadership. as opposed to Lot's wife. And the Melech expresses that idea. It expresses the fact that she became like them, meaning she was no different than them. The only way she could be saved is if she demonstrated that she's willing to let them go and that she's able to subordinate herself to the true philosophy. But if she turns back behind her, and once she turns behind her, it demonstrates that she's unable to. And once she does that, then she deserves the same fate that they deserved. So that's one pshat. That's the pshat of Rashi. And then the Ramban has a second idea, and his idea is a little bit different, but also a deep idea, saying that the issur to look back is that the ideas expressed in the destruction were very high ideas and lofty ideas about God. And we see from the Medrash that I brought in Brachos Rabbah that Lot's wife was a master manipulator. She tried to create a situation of destruction and that Lot would die. And by her looking back, it's an expression of her associating her own power with this level of power of destruction. The reality was it had nothing to do with her. It was all God. But once a person associates or attaches their own abilities to the abilities of God, you know, that's an offense that's punishable by death. And the idea of Melech was to tell us that, to tell us what her flaw was and why she was motivated to do that. Okay? So that's really the crux of the whole shiur. Does anybody have any questions on the shiur or any thoughts or ideas? Somebody? Anybody? All right, so that was the whole shiur for tonight. So I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos this week. Thank you for calling in. I know the circumstances weren't the greatest circumstances because of the hurricane, but everybody have a good Shabbos, all right?